Good evening, Saints fans and NFLers around the world. Welcome to the Who Dat Dish podcast, a podcast dedicated to all fans, New Orleans Saints. As part of Fanside, as always, I'm your host, Tyler Raymond.
And I'm also your host, Dayton Brown. Episode 22 is here, and we'd like to introduce another special guest to the show. He's a familiar face. He appeared on an episode a few months ago during the offseason. When I was looking in my Skype chat log, it was exactly like 4 months ago we last talked to this guy, so it's been a long time. He's hosted the Catch the Bliss podcast, which you can find on SoundCloud and the description box below. With over 3,400 followers on Instagram, over 20 podcast episodes, and an extreme dedication to the future stars of the NFL, please welcome Christian Catanacci. Christian, how are you?
How are you, guys? Pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you back, man. Pleasure to have you. It's been way too long. It's been crazy.
I know. It's been way too long. I reached out to you guys. I was like, I want to be back on the show because I've been listening to it as best as I could, and I caught back onto the episodes, and I just love what you guys are doing. So it's an honor to have me back on.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, and we're gonna have you on also later on in the season. You're gonna be on in another episode before the season ends. Also, I forgot to do the audience clap for when we introduced you, so I'm gonna do that right now, real quick. So, welcome to the show, Christian. Welcome back.
Thank you again.
No problem, man. We're gonna do a little mini Q&A with you before Tyler jumps into an experience about the Buffalo Bills game that he went to on Sunday. So, Christian, first of all, how is the podcast? Guys, Catch the Blitz podcast. Be sure to go to that on SoundCloud. Fantastic stuff. And follow him on Instagram, too, for all the updates. But, yeah, how is the podcast going?
It's going great, actually. We just hit 20 episodes. I just transferred over from SoundCloud onto a different platform. But I love what I'm doing. I've kind of cut it down to one a week since I'm busy with school and stuff. But it's going very good. We talk about this, you know, same stuff. I actually have a big series going on Instagram as well. It's it's my power rankings week. I post it every Wednesday. It's actually going up as soon as we end this, and I kind of do my power rankings, how I feel each team should be ranked, and you guys will be very happy where you find out where the Saints are ranked this week, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw, and I was very excited. I think I double-tapped that on two of my accounts. Hopefully I did. But, yeah, no, it's been really exciting. To see the development. And when we had you on last time, we'll go more depth into this. I remember you talking about how good of a fit Marshawn Lattimore was because of one of your podcast episodes. You did the fit for the draft. You said if the player fits with the team who drafted him or not. And Marshawn Lattimore was like your highest graded one.
I love that guy coming out. I have no words for how good he's been playing. And I knew exactly the player he was, and as soon as I saw the Saints tank him, I was like, this guy is a stud. Like I was happy because he was one of my favorite prospects. And I know people were kind of like shoving him off because of the hamstring issue he had, but honestly, the guy's a baller, and you can see it as like he's just balled out since the first week. And you guys definitely got a he was picked 11th overall, but he's still technically a steal because that's like a top three, top five talent. Yeah. He definitely got in that draft for sure.
Yeah, you know who else had hamstring issues? Patrick Peterson, and he turned out all right. So, you know, I was with you on that boat of, you know, it doesn't matter. But, yeah, also, power rankings, man, props to you. Power rankings are so hard to do, especially weekly. Like, it's crazy. Like, so much work goes into it. So, props to you for that, man.
Thanks, man.
All right, so the next one we've got for you, Christian. Right now, obviously, you've been keeping track of, like, what's been going on in the NFL? Obviously, we keep track of the Saints. What's your prediction, midway through the season, of who you think is a good good contenders right now for the Super Bowl, both in the NFC and the AFC?
The AFC, I'm going to stick to my preseason prediction. I had the Pats and the Steelers matching up AFC championship. I don't think – I mean, when you compare AFC to NFC, it's a lot more wide open in terms of competition-wise. I mean, like the sixth seed's like 5-4 or 5-3 or something like that. But I still think the Pats will eventually get to the Super Bowl on the AFC side just because they got that experience. They got Bill Belichick. They got Tom Brady, you know, the whole deal. They've been there a bunch of times before. I don't think we'll see anything different this year. They look to be picking it up again where they started off a little bit shaky, but they should be back there. In terms of the NFC, I have a few teams that I think you're going to like what I have to say right now, but I think that the Saints are legitimate contenders.
Boom.
If they can lock, if they can lock up that number one seed and have people go into New Orleans to play, I really think that they can. I mean, that's they have probably one of the hardest places to play in the entire NFL. And I think that they're legitimate contenders. If they can lock up home field, that is huge, huge, yeah. huge, huge. And I think that they can definitely cruise their way into the Super Bowl with Drew Brees. I mean, Drew Brees, obviously, he's a veteran. He's not I wouldn't say he's not the same as he used to be, but the team is just so much better than it used to be a couple of years ago, right? All around, yeah. your defense has improved. It's crazy how good you guys have come in such a short span. I mean, I think that you guys can definitely get there. The Eagles, I'm not going to say I'm not sold on the Eagles. I mean, they're 8-1. That'd kind of be disrespectful to say that. But, I mean, when you look at the guys that they have played, I kind of see, like, Carolina, KC, those games jump out at me, and those games could have really gone either way. I still think the Eagles will be legitimate contenders, but, I mean, they still they have a big game coming up on Sunday against Dallas, and I'm definitely going to watch that, scout it out a bit. But I think the Eagles are contenders, and I think there's – I honestly – you may call me a little bit weird for thinking this. I still think, and I still stand by to this day, that if Seattle or Dallas can somehow get into the playoffs, I feel like they can be a force to be reckoned with. I mean, Seattle, okay, yes, they just lost Sherman, but Seattle is a playoff team, right? They're made for the playoffs.
Yeah.
They get all that fired up. I mean, like their fans travel with them everywhere. In terms of Dallas, a lot of people disagree with me. I was high on the Cowboys coming into this season. I think that if they can get If they can just squeak in, I mean, they'll have Zeke rested off the 6-game suspension that he's serving now. And if they, realistically, they don't have much injury. I mean, Tyron Smith they lost. He should be gone for a week and a bit. Sean Lee is a big loss. He should be 2 to 3 weeks. But like I'm saying, if they're a team that can squeak in with a wild card, I think they could definitely be a force to be reckoned with. Especially with a second year good quarterback. I mean, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, you wouldn't obviously you want to see the Saints go to the NFC Championship. But as like a scouter and as a guy that just loves to watch football, I would love to see like a Dak Wentz kind of thing in the playoffs. I feel like that would be a very, like, you know, good thing to see. And the Rams is another team that a lot of people kind of, you know, overlooked coming into the season. I was a victim to that as well. I actually predicted them to go 4-12. And that's looking like it's going to go probably the other way. But the Rams are definitely surprise teams. I mean, everyone's improved. Todd Gurley's he's balling out. I think that they're definitely a legitimate contender. Home field and away, it doesn't really make a difference for them because, I mean, their home field advantage isn't really big. They don't really get that many fans, which sucks because they are such a good team and they're very young, and that defense is definitely playing above par. But there are the NFC is just so close. But if I had to pick a team that's going to go to the Super Bowl right now, it would definitely have to be the Eagles or the Saints.
I like it. I like it a lot. I feel like this Sunday, you mentioned it, the Cowboys-Eagles game could be a preview of the NFC Championship game. That's going to be really interesting.
Exactly. And I think that a lot of people count out certain teams. Like, I mean, Carolina is another team that I haven't mentioned, but I think the team that's getting overlooked the most is the Cowboys. I think that they're one of those teams that they can just get – when they get hot, they get hot. We saw it last year, right? And, I mean, the offense can put up numbers. And when that defense plays good, too, they really just have to hold an opponent to less than 20, 25 points, right? Because the offense is definitely capable of putting up 30-plus on a weekly basis. So,
yeah,
it's definitely going to be excited to see what happens coming down the stretch, that's for sure.
If they can get a decent seed in the playoffs, they're going to – all of those injured players are going to start becoming healthy around that time. And they're going to be scary in the playoffs if that ends up happening. Hopefully the Saints are able to fend that off, though. I like that you have them in there.
They should.
I like
that. Yeah. No, I honestly, the Saints have to respect them. I always said that, you know, going into Superdome is tough to play. And if you guys can somehow, I mean, somehow, you guys are definitely right behind your neck and neck with the Eagles. But if you guys can get that number one seed, it's going to be very tough. It's tough for any team to go into New Orleans and pull off a game, no matter, you know, no matter the talent difference or whatever. But this is such a hostile place to play in. I think you guys can definitely are in reach of that first seed. That's for sure.
Vikings are pretty darn good too, with their pretty much third string quarterback in at the moment.
I mean, Mike Zimmer's doing a heck of a job. That guy is. I think Ryan. I know this is kind of off topic, but I think he's coach of the year right now. If I were to give it to someone,
I like that.
He's doing wonders. I mean, he has pretty much nothing, right? Like that defense is playing like crazy. I mean, they're like personnel wise, the defense is phenomenal. Don't get me wrong, but they're doing this all with Case Keenum. I mean, like, it's remarkable what they're doing. I think, honestly, if I was the Vikings, I would stick with Keenum. But I, the reason why I didn't mention them is because I think that they're going to go to Teddy Bridgewater. And, I mean, with all due respect to Teddy with the comeback and everything, I just don't think he's ready yet. And I think they're going to finish somewhere between 10 and 6-ish because they still have some divisional games, tough divisional games to play on the road here and there. So that's like just a waiting test. I mean, the NFC is too hard. I mean, it's well past the mid-season, but it's still so tight, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's crazy how tight it's going to be.
The NFC is so deep. It reminds me of like the Western and Eastern Conference and the NBA. Like the NFC is the Western Conference, loaded, stacked, all these talented teams. AFC is the Eastern Conference. Like you got that one dominant good team, the Patriots, and like the Eastern Conference has the Cavaliers. After that, it's cupcake. You know what I'm saying? Like,
of course.
Pittsburgh barely beat Indianapolis. Like, yeah, and exactly, they're the second best team in the AFC. Come on, man.
But exactly, you're right.
So it's gonna be tough, but I'd rather us earn that, you know, come out of the NFC like that. And
of course, I like you guys as I would consider you guys underdogs too, because not many people are still talking about you. I don't know how. Like, I mean, you should have earned respect by the whole league. Yeah. But I mean, yeah. But you guys are definitely dark horses, that's for sure.
Sean Payton kind of prefers us to be underdogs, to be under the radar. So I think that he's trying his best to keep that under wraps, which is why it probably hasn't gotten out for a while. But
Of course.
Who's your MVP so far this season?
I have two MVPs actually. Okay. I have Tom Brady and Carson Wentz. Okay. I think Carson Wentz is really, that team without him is, I mean, they got him the weapons that he needed and he's balling out so far. I really like what I'm seeing from the kid. He's really taken the league by storm. I mean, it took him to his second year, but that's reasonable. I mean, not every rookie is going to perform like crazy their rookie season. It just doesn't happen so often. But he's definitely if I have to pick an NFC MVP right now, it would probably have to go to him. That could change in the upcoming weeks, but he has that team. Their confidence is high. They're rolling right now. They think that nobody can beat them. And I mean, kudos to him. It's all surrounded around him and he's cruising with 8-1 going into next week against the Cowboys. AFC, I think it's out of respect you got to put Tom Brady there. I mean, that team it's banged up. He's 40 years old and he's still playing elite level football. So I think he's always got to be in there in terms of MVP. If it goes by true definition, I think you're still gonna have to give it by Tom Brady because I mean the most valuable player to any team is their quarterback, right? So it's kind of like a quarterback trophy, and I think it's either between those two so far in this season, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Tom Brady, I mean, we see it in New Orleans as well, of an older quarterback playing at a high level.
Of course.
So it's, you know, it's great to see that with Tom Brady as well. Obviously, a little bit more. You know, he's winning Super Bowls, coming back from deficits. So, you know, Tom Brady, the GOAT, still playing unbelievable. I mean, that's what makes him the best ever. So real quick, before we get on to Tyler's experience in Buffalo this past Sunday, we kind of asked you about Marshawn Lattimore's fit with the team. How do you think about Alvin Kamara, his fit with the Saints, how somehow he fell to us in the third round? I don't know how that happened. I'm glad it did. Talk about his fit with us.
If you actually look back on my Instagram page, I posted my top five running backs, and I actually had him as number four. I made an article on a website just after the draft, and I said that he was going to be one of the players that outperformed his draft position. Why? Because Alvin Kamara in college, talent-wise, was a first-round pick without a doubt.
Yeah.
The only issues that team had with him was his off-field, his attitude. But, I mean, it's looked like he straightened it out because, I mean, Sean Payton's a tough coach to get by with that stuff. So, I mean, like, he kind of probably straightened him out. He said, listen, if you want to play on this team, you got to be like this, this, this. And he's listened. I mean, the guy's balling out. You guys have probably the – I mean, before it used to be Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman.
Yeah.
And now you guys took that by storm.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You guys have the best dynamic duo back there, and you guys your run game's improved a ton. I was always a big fan of Alvin Kamara coming out, and I mean, outside of Alvin Kamara, I loved Mark Ingram. I was always a Mark Ingram guy. I mean, he was probably the most one. He's still, I think, he's one of the most underrated running backs in the league. And just to have a good talent like Alvin Kamara back there, it fits so well because you guys can really you can attack him from all angles. And you got Michael Thomas on the outside. He just fits so well in that offense. Just gives you guys another weapon for Drew Brees to have fun with and just put up more points. I mean, you just put up 50 against the Bills. So, I mean, it's definitely good.
Yeah, we love having him. It's awesome.
Yeah, of course, of course. He's fit so well in that system. And he's going to be so good for you guys for years to come.
Yeah, and I know Dayton can probably agree we can't wait for that. But as we transition into our next segment, which I'm sure a lot of people can't wait to hear about, it's funny because on Twitter, people were asking me, so how was the game and everything? I didn't tell them simply because of this moment right here. All right, guys, this is what I thought of the Saints-Bills game. So
grab your popcorn.
Grab your popcorn. in case you didn't know, in case you're living under a rock, November 12th, my dad and I, we went to the Saints-Bills game. It was a 2.5-hour drive west to Buffalo. I live in Syracuse, so it was a drive there. But let's see. Where should I start? Do you guys know who Brian Baldinger is?
Yep. The Baldy NFL on Twitter. Yeah,
Christian, do you know who?
No, I've never heard of him. Who is he?
Okay, so basically, if you look him up, Brian Baldinger on Twitter, he used to be an NFL offensive lineman with Indianapolis, Dallas, and Philadelphia. And now, I couldn't really find out if he works with a specific television program, whether that be ESPN, NFL Network.
He works for NFL and NFL Network.
Oh, okay.
So he works for them, yeah.
Yeah, but what he does is, though, like, if you follow him on Twitter, what he's known for is reviewing tape on players. Like, he does, like, a breakdown Mondays where he breaks down different tape. And especially who he's been very high on lately is Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah.
So it's funny, though. Me and my dad were standing outside the stadium, right? And we were just waiting around because it wasn't 1 o'clock yet. And they didn't let anyone into the gates until, like, so much later. So he's a very big guy. And he was wearing a bright blue suit, and he walks by me, and I didn't recognize him at the time, but he looked familiar. He said, "Who that?" to me. I'm like, "Who the heck is this guy?" I look at him for a bit. As he walks by, I yell, "Brian?" and he raises his fist. I'm like, "No way!" Because I've seen his tape. I'm the one who retweets it, like, every Monday at Marshawn Lattimore. So I ran by him, and I wasn't fast enough to get a selfie with him, but I got a photo of his back, so I think that's pretty impressive. about the game. So, the Saints dominated the Bills. If you didn't see it, you should watch it, because, like with this show, you're going to need some popcorn. 6 rushing touchdowns and 300 rushing yards.
Woo!
The Saints absolutely dominated them. And I think I'll be the first to say, at first, they got me worried because of, I remember the first opening drive for the Bills, when LeSean McCoy ran down for like 20, 30 yards. I got super nervous. I'm like, great, this is going to be how the game was. But the defense stood up, and although they had a couple of big plays against them, they shut them down. It was incredible, except for near the very end of the game where Nathan Peterman threw a touchdown in garbage time. But what else? It was super cold. Me and my dad, we actually had very good seats, and we were bundled up very well, for what I thought, at least. It was, like, under 40 degrees, so around maybe, like, 38, 36. And, yeah, it was cold, and it was really, really loud. Bills fans ended up giving me a headache by the end of it, because we had drunk guys all around us screaming, you know, on, like, every first down, second down, third down, come on, Buffalo! It was so insane. But, I couldn't believe how much we ran the ball. Like, I get if something's working, but I've only seen, this would be my third Saints game I've been to. I would love to see Drew Brees throw the ball more. But what else? I love the atmosphere of it. I think Buffalo was super cool, you know, like, an away game in the chilly cold, like, the chilly temperatures of Buffalo, New York. Like, how much better could it get, you know? And the Saints held the ground, and, oh, my God, it was so amazing, though. Know? To tell you the truth, like, I love the passion, the energy. Unfortunately, I wasn't near the sideline where Mark Ingram jumped into, but I saw that in the highlights, and the streaker was pretty funny, if you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I saw that.
It must have been the guy's birthday, because he was in his birthday suit. But you can ask all the questions you want to me about it, but honestly, I love the game, because me and my dad, The only games we've been to is for the Saints, specifically 2014 at Cleveland and 2015 at Philadelphia. Both games were losses, so me and him were very excited to see the Saints actually dominate on all cylinders. And the funny part is, was it wasn't even the end of the third quarter, and I'm going to see maybe like 40-60% of the Bills fans were just leaving. Like, man, this is perfect. Like the icing on the cake, you know? But,
yeah, of course. That's the best part.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, it was the best part. And then, oh, at the very end, in case nobody saw it, all the Saints fans, including me and my dad, we moved down, like, into the very, very fourth section. And at that point, there were so many Saints fans, the security couldn't really do anything. But they started a huge Who Dat chant, and, like, Mark Ingram and Craig Robertson were, like, dancing. Oh, my gosh. It was so cool.
Nice.
That's a great experience.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was
That's
incredible.
Super awesome. Christian, have you ever been to an NFL game before?
Of course. I'm actually going this weekend.
Wait, which game are you going to?
Dallas, Philadelphia.
Oh, you lucky SOB.
You got good seats?
Of course. I'm sitting by the 50-yard line a couple, 21 rows up. 21 rows up, yeah.
My man.
You're gonna have to take some epic photos for us.
I'm glad I have you
course.
On Snapchat.
Of course. Yeah, you're gonna see a bunch of Instagram stories, Snapchat stories. You're gonna see everything. It's gonna be very, very cool, and I'm excited. I actually leave tomorrow afternoon to head down there, and it's gonna be fantastic. I actually went I went to Dallas earlier this year because my uncle and my dad are fans, and I went with them. They had an extra ticket because they were supposed to bring someone else, and they're like, "Oh, you want to come with us?" And I said, "Might as well, right?" So they had an extra ticket, and I actually went week four against Green Bay. I don't know if you saw my Snapchat story then, but I was there as well. So, and I'm going back there now because my uncle's a season ticket holder, so he just goes to a couple of games here and there, and he sells the rest because, I mean, from Canada you can't really go to every game, right? So.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that. I'm going to scout it out. I'm excited to see Wentz versus Dak, that's for sure.
Man, football games are so exciting, though.
Yeah.
Whether it be what game you go to.
I've never been to an NFL game before, unfortunately.
You need to change
that statistic
right now.
I almost went to the Bears-Saints game, but that almost fell through. Yeah, I know.
You should hop on with Christian, see if he can fly down there and meet up with him.
There we go. Of course. I have a question for Tyler that I totally just forgot. Oh, Donna was at the game as well, fellow Who Dat Dish contributor. Donna, that's right. She was at the...
I didn't get to see her, though.
That's right. I was expecting you guys to meet up.
What happened?
Take a selfie together or something.
Yeah, no, what happened was, apparently, like, she got stuck. She was hanging out with some friends. So, basically, me and my dad got there super early. I think we got into, like, the parking thing by the time we got there. I think, like, 9, 10 o'clock. So, for most of the time, we, like, walked around and stuff. And we never ended up finding her. But it was super cool, though, how many Saints fans there were, though.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they were hundreds upon hundreds. Like, me and my dad were, like, almost relieved because at the very beginning, going into this game, we thought, oh, great. It's probably going to be, like, 90, I think this stadium could hold, like, 60,000. Like, 50,000 to, like, 100 people. And we thought we were going to be, like, I thought they were going to make it very known that we were at a away game. But there were so many Saints fans there. Honestly, it was probably like 70-30 as far as like Saints fans, you know, like the percentage.
Of course.
Bills fans to Saints fans. But no, that's it was great. Yeah. I feel bad, though. I couldn't meet Donna, though. She was trying to text me during the game. I'm like, I'm sorry. Me and my dad trying to get food. Or
she was on the show. She was on the show last week, no?
Yep, yep. Yeah.
I listened to that podcast. I listened to it last week, yeah.
That's awesome, cool. Man.
Thanks.
Appreciate that. That's awesome.
Of course.
Anything else you wanted to? You did a good job telling about the experience. I don't really have any questions. You covered most of it. Obviously, it was cool whenever the Saints scored. You were obviously happy every time that happened. So that's good.
Absolutely.
It happened often.
I guess another thing too. We always tell people check our social media. Check mine on Twitter at RavenTaylorM because I've been posting a billion photos of the game. And even another thing too. The one time we went in Cleveland, I made a giant sign, and I had a professional photographer take a photo of me that I found, like, on the Saints website, like, 3 days later. And this time, not one time, but twice. So, there's a guy, he's a staff writer for the Times Pecan, NOLA.com. He took a photo of me and my dad right by the very edge of, like, the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you can walk down, like, as far as you can get down. You're practically touching the field. and there's like a good group of Saints fans there, and he got a photo of us there. And then I checked the next the next morning after the game, and lo and behold, like 13 photos in, I find my dad talking with a Saints fan, like holding his hands up. It's just super funny though. But yeah, it was great to see like a Saints win. You know, to be honest, I was a little skeptical, you know, considering Buffalo was like a very tough opponent, but considering we ran it down their throats and yeah, we sort of put their we put our black and gold boot on their blue head. It wasn't very pretty for them.
Yeah, I agree. I'm
very happy to say. So,
who dat? Go Saints!
Who dat?
That's awesome. I'm really glad you had a good time and it was.
Man. We just meet. We need to make sure you go to a game now.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll go. Don't worry.
Next one up.
Hey, okay. The closest team to me are the Seahawks, and so I like how you mentioned the Seahawks earlier about them being built for the playoffs. Christian, because I hear that every single year down here, they're like, they chuck up the Seahawks so much, so, you know, I just get sick of Seahawks stuff. And the Saints don't play the Seahawks too often, but, man, I need to go to a game soon. Really soon.
You absolutely need to.
I've been to one college football game that I saw the Ducks play down in Eugene, Oregon. Fantastic place to go. Autzen Stadium was great. Actually, it was right before Mariota got there.
Oh, really?
Didn't get to see him. But I saw Kenyon Barner go for like 240 rushing yards in the game. So that was cool. But anyway, Tyler, let's jump into this Saints-Bills game. Let's analyze this stuff.
Yeah. You want to go first or should I?
Go ahead.
Okay. So if I could just pull it up very quickly. And let's see here, folks. What do we got for you? Okay, guys. So the New Orleans Saints, in case you didn't hear, we demolished the Bills. We crushed them. They were on life support. We took it off. Sorry for the weird joke there. But, yeah, we ended up beating them 47-10. Drew Brees, our Hall of Famer. Surprisingly, he didn't throw for very many passes. He was 18 of 25 for 184 yards, completing 7.4 yards per attempt. He had a 92.8 rating. On the opposite side, you had Nathan Peterman, who actually stepped in for Tyrod Taylor near the end of it. The funny part is, we actually found out today that Nathan Peterman is actually going to be taking over because Tyrod Taylor is going to be benched. Peterman had a touchdown. Taylor had an interception. Peterman was 7 for 10 for 79 yards, 7.9 yards per attempt. Tyrod Taylor is 9 for 18, 56 yards, 3.1 yards per attempt. Let's see here. As far as everything went, I know Saints fans, of course, we were absolutely a little worried about how Taylor and McCoy, Shady McCoy, we're going to do in the run game. We held them both to under 100 yards total combined. And actually, a fun fact, the Saints held them under 200 total yards of offense. So there's a great stat for you. LeSean McCoy was 8 attempts for 49 yards, 6.1 average. Tyrod Taylor had 3 attempts for 27 yards. Let's see. Their highest scoring receiver was Calvin Benjamin. In garbage time, he had 3 receptions for 42 yards. And other than that, they didn't really get any sacks or interceptions on us. We had one forced fumble early in the game from Josh Hill, who was trying to go for extra yards. But for the Saints, however, we had an amazing day. Mark Ingram had 21 attempts for 131 yards and 3 scores. Alvin Kamara had 12 attempts for 106 yards and a score. Trey Edmonds, our backup, because we obviously don't want to wear down our main starters, came into the game and had 9 attempts for 48 yards and a score. Even our boy, Drew Brees, the GOAT, had a score himself. So all around, it was a great game. Michael Thomas had over 100 receiving yards. Let's see here. Alex Okafor and the big man, Sheldon Rankins, had a sack. And in case you didn't see this, Dayton, I figured I'd point it out. What's his name? Yeah, Sheldon Rankins actually had his first sack of the season dedicated to Nick Fairley by doing his dance.
I saw that. Yeah, his little sack celebration. That was cool.
Yeah, I thought that was super nice. But, and also, the big man, Sheldon Rankins, I've been always a big fan of big guys having huge plays for their team. He had an interception that almost went for a touchdown. It was pretty epic because, it's funny, while me and my dad were watching this, me and him were, like, talking, and then, like, I wasn't even, like, paying attention for a second. All I know is the ball's being tipped in the air, and I see out of nowhere, at the very, like, beginning, I couldn't tell who it was. I'm like, wait, that's a big guy for the Saints. He's got the ball. And, oh, my gosh, like, I couldn't even talk. I was so, like, awestruck because it wasn't, like, a typical Saints player to get the ball. I was just like, like, oh, my gosh, heck of a game. But, yeah, big man, big man, Sheldon Rankins had an interception. But, yeah, all around, it was incredible. Anything you want to point out, Dayton?
Let's actually. I want to see what Chris has to say.
Okay.
About the game. I just want to say one quick thing. The thing that I've noticed throughout the Saints playing on the 7-game win streak is they always the defense at least seems to scare us on the team's very first drive. We saw it in London against Miami. When the Dolphins drove down the field, we're about to score a touchdown. Luckily, Crawley got the interception. We saw it with the Packers in Lambeau Field. Aaron Jones gashed us for a really large run.
And Humley went down there too,
Yeah, exactly. And then now you in Buffalo, you have LeSean McCoy with that huge run. And you said so yourself at the stadium. You were like, I'm a little bit worried.
Yeah,
that was worrying you. Yeah,
everyone was super happy over it. It was insane.
But the defense got it together. So, Christian,
yep.
Give us your thoughts about the game. Just some general what did you take away the most from this game? Analyze what went on for us.
Personally, I said I was talking to Dayton earlier before the show actually got started. I think that this game solidified you guys as legit. You guys deserve the credit you guys have been getting. I mean, going into Buffalo and dominating the way you guys did in such a hostile place to play, I think you guys earned the respect of the whole league, and you guys pretty much said, hey, listen, we're here and we're here for real, and we're ready to take that thing right to the championship and try and win this thing. I think that's the biggest takeaway I had from that. When I was scrolling through the channels watching the games, and then I stumbled upon it, and I was like, wow, like, you know what, like, the Saints, really, like, you guys, I was shocked. Honestly, I knew that you guys were contenders, but I thought that I thought the game, like, your win streak was going to snap in Buffalo because, I mean, talent-wise, Buffalo doesn't come close to you guys, but it's just going to Buffalo is so hard to win. Like, it's just a very hostile place to play, and I actually predict you guys to lose. And, I mean, I'm happy that, in terms of you guys, I'm very happy that I was wrong, but I give you guys all the credit you guys need. I really think you guys are legitimate contenders, like I've said before, and I think this is kind of like your coming out game. You kind of say, like, you know what? Here, we're here to be a force to be reckoned with. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Any 37-point win on the road, I think falls exactly into what you're talking about, solidifying us. And I said this to you as well before the show. This game was so important, not only to win, but to win impressively and get people talking and believing in the Saints, because our next two games are going to be really tough. They're going to be against the Redskins.
Yep.
Week after that, we got to go up against the Los Angeles Rams, who are on fire at the moment. Fantastic offense. So winning this game was obviously the first step. The second one was demolishing the team and imposing our force. And now everybody's taking notice of the Saints, and I love it. The great thing about having a great running game is that it's hard to adjust to it because you can only analyze it so much in film.
I've been saying that for so long. I think that having a good running game. I mean, no quarterback, no team can be good without a good running game. I mean, look at the big teams in the, like, if you go through every team, they at least have a good quarterback. They have a decent line. They can protect the quarterback, give them enough time, and they got a good running game. I mean, it goes hand in hand with success in every position on the offense. And I think it's definitely huge that you guys got those two beasts back there.
Finally, it happened. Yep. Overall, my thoughts on the game are pretty much right in line with you. There's not too much to say, other than a bunch of positives when you win 47-10. But this Buffalo team was very sound coming into this game. I won't say they were very good or great at all, but, you know, they were 5-3, undefeated at home. So what scared me most about this game was three things. The first was the extra rest that they had because the week before, the NFL week before, they played the Jets, who they got blown out by. And then the extra rest was key. The second one was LeSean McCoy. Besides that opening rush that gashed us, didn't do much in the game. And then the third is that they have so much talent on the offensive side of the ball with a pretty darn good defensive-minded coach and good personnel on defense that they were going to be a little bit too balanced for the Saints to handle in a way. But that was not the case. Their defense got just absolutely, on the ground gashed. And, you know, they have good personnel on defense. They have good players. But they just weren't in it today. And we got to give credit to our offensive line. Andres Pete played lights out. He, look, I think I speak for a lot of Saints fans. When we drafted him in the first round, 2015, I was very skeptical about him. When I heard that he was going to be playing a lot in his rookie year, I got a little bit even, you know, more distraught about it, so to speak. But I totally understand why we picked him now. He's incredible. Larry Warford, great pickup by us this offseason. Ryan Ramczyk, another fantastic rookie that we got in the first round. That's surprising a lot of people. Max Unger continues to be one of the best centers in the NFL. And Teron Armstead is finally healthy. He had that pancake block, man. I love that. When Drew Brees ran in for that touchdown, that pancake block was awesome. Making Drew Brees look like Cam Newton on that. Michael Vick. I'll compare him to Michael Vick. Former Falcon.
Either. He's just as good.
A former 28-3 guy. But yeah, no, this game was fantastic. You know what? I'm so jealous of you, Tyler. Because I was about to say, the only thing that would have made this better was watching it in person. And
of course,
you got to do just that. Yeah, so that was
good. Yeah, but the Bills fans weren't very nice, though. I mean, some of them were, but most of them. I mean, I've got stories to tell you guys later, but I'll do it in a French fry. A guy flipped out at me because I wouldn't give him a French fry and said some choice words about the GOAT. So on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Bills fans are crazy.
Bills fans aren't known to be that friendly, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just glad I didn't get into a fight or anything. That's just the point.
They threw the beer on Mark Ingram. I didn't like that part. But
hey, better him than me, right?
No. I'm sorry, Tyler. No.
Hey, I didn't want my clothes to be stained. I mean, it's beer. He probably enjoyed it. I don't know.
You're funny. Christian, if you had to give a game ball to anybody, who would it be?
I'm going to have to go with Mark Ingram.
Okay, I like it.
It was a joint effort from everyone, but, I mean, when you put up three touchdowns, it's not something that comes around often, right?
No. With the Saints, never, no.
Of course, and he was running with a purpose, and he ran that ball, and, you know, he deserves it. He deserves to get that game ball. I'm not going to say without him you wouldn't have won, but without him you maybe wouldn't have done the certain things that you did. He really ran that ball hard, and he ran it down their throat, and you guys came out with a big, convincing win. I would give it to him, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay. For me, it's either Ingram. I might even go with Marshawn Lattimore. I think that he played great. I might even go for, like, comeback. Like, if I had to give a ball for, like, somebody who, like, surprised me, kind of comeback type thing. It would be Sheldon Rankins. I was really excited with his that interception was great. That run afterwards was great. You see Ken Crawley. I love it on the replay. Ken Crawley is like making sure that Sheldon Rankins is behind him so he can go out and block somebody because he really wanted Rankins to score that touchdown. It was just great stuff. So this team is really starting to come together cohesively, both sides of the ball. Coaching staff is great. Christian, when we were 0-2. What did you think about this team and compare them to kind of how you think about them now? Like, when they were 0-2 for me, I was like, Peyton might be out of here soon. Breeze, we might have to get rid of him. Like, if we go 0-4. Compare that feeling you kind of had for us to now.
I had kind of mixed feelings. I predict you guys going 8-8 at the beginning of the year. So, I mean, I wasn't really one to say, like, oh, Breeze should be out of here, Peyton should be out of here. Like, I just figured, like, oh, okay, you know what? Like, they're what I expected, like, 8-8 kind of team. I mean, 0-2, you shouldn't really, like, it's not really like you're folding in the towel already, right?
Right.
I mean, any team can really lose two games and bounce back, right? It's all about getting hot and getting hot at certain times. But, like I said, I love the way, I think that after you lost that second game, I think that Sean Payton kind of realized, like, listen, you know what? Like, he got that locker room together and he said, he convinced the guys that they're a better team than what the record shows. And that's what it's all about. It's all about getting your morale up and getting your players to believe that they can win, just like how we got to win. Like, I mean, it's like, it was like a night and day difference. You saw the team after the 0-2 start to now, like, they're going crazy. They're loving it. They have everything into it. And I think it starts with Sean Payton. He's done a great job getting this group of guys to play with a purpose. I mean, like, the first couple of games, obviously your confidence is going to be shot when you start off 0-2. It's not an ideal start, but, like, again, it's not the end of the world. And I feel like right now I have nothing but good words to say for them. Like I said, I've been saying it this whole show. I mean, they're true contenders, and they caught me by surprise. But like again, I didn't think you guys were going to be a bad team to begin with. I mean, just I thought you guys were 8-8, got a tough schedule, a tough division. But I mean, you're proving me wrong, and I want you guys to keep proving me wrong because I love seeing those dark horse teams doing something with their season. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dan, I want to hear what you're going to say after this too. But I think I liked what you said, Christian. But I agree too. You know, I think a lot of Saints fans, like me, were very skeptical, you know, because we've seen this song play before. You know, the Saints start off 0-2, 0-3, 0-4. They try to catch up a few games. They fall or behind. They finally catch up to end up 7-9. That was actually pretty perfect timed rhyme there. I didn't even mean to do that either. But it's funny. Here's a stat just to prove the lengths of how dominant we've been and why I think we're finally, you know, on the other side of that coin. This was the first time in Saints history with Drew Brees that the Saints had put up more than 40 points and Drew Brees didn't have to throw for a passing touchdown. Just goes to show, when you have a future Hall of Fame quarterback on your team, everyone always says, you know, make sure you get the most out of your best player. And we barely used him. He didn't throw a touchdown pass. He ran one in for, he ran one in, but we rarely used him, you know? And I think that goes the depths to say that this team has completely taken that 0-2 record that they had and thrown it out the window, you know? They threw it behind them and they haven't looked back, you know? And I think it's just been insane what they've been able to accomplish. You know, their defense, most importantly, but I think just everything. They have a balanced offense. They have two phenomenal playmakers in the backfield. Oh, man, I just can't even get over. Even though this team still has weaknesses, it doesn't look like very many right now because they've been so successful in what they're doing right now. I expect it to continue when they head to Washington. For those who aren't aware, we've been having a second part of this amazing podcast coming out very shortly, so look out for that. Dan and I will be talking about the Redskins, the Saints, but yeah, hashtag ad.
Hashtag dad. Hashtag boot gang is more like it.
Yeah, right?
Oh, man, I can't. So funny. But that just shows their brotherhood and their cohesiveness, so I love it. Yeah, I want to give credit to somebody who has been getting credit elsewhere, pretty much everywhere besides the show, Jeff Ireland. Ever since he got on board with our front office, fantastic draft classes, and he's been able to make something out of, like, Brandon Cooks wasn't happy in New Orleans. He was going to leave the team regardless. He was able to get something out of that. Turns up to be Ryan Ramczyk, so, you know, that was good. This draft class was great. He was able to flip Stephon Anthony, who isn't doing anything for the Dolphins right now, wasn't doing anything with us either. He was able to flip him for another draft pick that he's going to use for next year. Obviously, he's not all him, but ever since he came into the front office, he's been fantastic. So, you know, yeah, like I said, 0-2, man, I said if we go into the bye week at 0-4, we lose to, you know, the Dolphins, the Panthers, and after getting embarrassed by the Vikings and the Patriots, we got to think, because 7-9 past three seasons, four out of the last five, like, and then you start out 0-4 another season. It's beyond below mediocrity. We can say those three straight 7-9 seasons, mediocre at best. When you go 0-4 in a season after being, you know, 7-9 for that many seasons, not making the playoffs in such a long time, you have to start figuring out a different direction. That, you know, that's what I was saying, but right after I said that, the Saints started turning around. So, you know, I might credit myself. I do want to give credit to Christian because he's been talking about all of the predictions that have been coming true for him throughout the NFL season, which is great. Like, I love that. Like you were so accurate with a lot of your stuff with, you know, draft classes and whatnot.
I mean, that's what I pride myself on. I'm good with. I mean, I'm not gonna say I'm a scout and like all that stuff, but I tend to see the best in players, and I tend to see when people get too overhyped with kind of guys. Like, I kind of stick to the film. I'm not that really hype guy. Like, you know, I'm not going to, oh, this guy's crazy. But, like, if I look at the film and the film tells me that he's crazy, then I'm going to believe that hype. But I kind of stick to my routine, and it tends to treat me well sometimes.
I like it. I like it. One more thing before Tyler gets to the fan question. I remember you talking about Christian McCaffrey too, right? You were kind of shaky on him when the Panthers picked him, and now he's kind of meh, you know. Like I was on the same boat as you. I was like, I don't know. I think this guy's a little bit too hyped up, and you know, you agreed with me. You talked about that in your podcast too.
He's a system player. I personally think he's not really one of those. He's not like a guy that you draft in the top 10, like a plug in and play, like in any kind of system, like Fournette, like Zeke, Gurley, like those guys. You know, like those guys can play in any system, give or take, right?
Alvin Kamara, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, Trey Edmonds, the guy we just signed from the Bills practice squad. Mm-hmm. All those guys, fantastic.
All right, so shall I ask the amazing fan question that we have for us tonight?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's go for it. So I took out the Twitter to ask around, see if anyone had any Saints questions. And my boy, Jordan Carter, you can follow him at Carter_era22. He asks, is the 2017 New Orleans Saints better than the 2011 and 2009 Saints? Let's discuss.
Shoot. Well, okay. First of all, need to mention real quick, we didn't do articles of the week because we're going to save that for tomorrow. But I'll mention an article right now that has to do with that because Roy Anderson, our editor, just came out with an article comparing these Saints stats or this Saints team and their stats with 2009 and the stats and whatnot. Great article, guys. Go and check it out. But, you know, that 2009 team, what, we started out 13-0. We lose to the Cowboys week 15 or whatever.
Yeah, at home. I remember that game.
Yeah, that was one of the I was gonna say, but that was the same year. I think the new Cowboy Stadium opened up, AT&T Stadium. I'm pretty sure that was the same year because you know the Cowboys were big deal back then, but they weren't that great of a team. So you know, losing to them, but then we sat out the rest of the guys for the last month of the season or so, and so we lost the final two games just because our backups were in. But 2011 was such a, I almost want to say that 2011 team, especially the offense, was better than that 2009 Super Bowl team. I mean, I might be crazy for saying that, but that 2011 team, Drew Brees had better stats overall. Like, that offense was just getting the ball moving better. But
that, all those weapons, too.
Yeah, and but that 2009 team, this is why I'm so excited about this team. The cohesiveness of that, like, that was an absolute brotherhood, and that defense was able to get turnovers. Tracy Porter and Jabari Greer could get interceptions. Scott Shanley could force fumbles. Will Smith got the sacks. We have everybody. We have Cameron Jordan. We got Marshawn Lattimore. 2011, Alex Okafor is now on the edge as well, playing pretty good. Really good, actually. Yeah. And then, you know, we have our rookies on offense. So, you know, I look at it more as the 2011 team than the 2009 team. In terms of the talent that we have, because I feel like that at least that roster of 2000, but that 2019 team was able to just come together in a special sort of way and rattle off wins. So I'm glad that we have the same head coach and quarterback that we did in those two seasons still to this day, because you know that's going to help us. What do you think, Christian?
I kind of agree with you too. I agree that it's similar with the 2011 team. I mean, Drew Brees is obviously not on the level that he used to be, but that's no knock on him. He's still playing good football, and he's playing football that he needs to do to win the games. And I think the personnel is kind of the same. You guys, I personally think that you guys are, in terms of roster, and I think of the way that you guys are playing right now, I think you guys have kind of the edge on them. Because, I mean, the game evolves, right? Like, if you were to play this team against the 2011 team, let's say, you guys would probably have the edge because guys get bigger, faster, stronger. But with that... with that put aside, I think that it's very comparable the way that the teams are playing, the way that the locker room feels, the way that the players look on the field. I think that in terms of I don't know how to say it, in terms of how they're playing, the play style, the way that they're like their forte, I guess, you know, like they're how they're all like hyped up, they're all getting excited, you know, like before the game. I mean, I would compare them both ways, 2011 to this season. I think guys definitely have comparable rosters. It's hard to compare, like I said, with the dates so far back, but I think you guys are definitely comparable in terms of the record wise. I mean, it's hard to finish 13-3. That's saying you guys are going to lose one game the rest of the year, but I think you guys are definitely more than capable to finish 12-4, 11-5, and that should win your division. I think if you guys can win some key matchups down the road, but I think they're comparable, in that sense.
Yeah. And it's funny, as you were talking, Christian, I took the need upon myself to look up a little bit of the stats, you know, from the year 2011. Obviously, they ended up going 13-3. Drew Brees broke the single season passing yards.
Yeah, what did he throw for, like 5,500 or something like that?
Yeah,
ended up finishing 34.2 points per game and only had 24 sacks, believe it or not. But the thing is, okay, so I think obviously the 2011 team was very good. I think the Saints Super Bowl team, however, I think if I had to like compare them to 1 year, it'd be this year because I think everything's going their way. I think a lot of teams have those moments in a season where
you got to capitalize.
You need to capitalize on everything. I think last year was a prime example for us of what we didn't do. You saw you saw opportunities where the Saints were just shy of making an interception, or just shy of getting a game-winning sack, you know, and in most of our games last year, we ended up losing by under 6 points. So I'll say that, but I also think this year, I think it's special. You know, that Super Bowl team we had, when you look at it, besides Drew Brees and everything, there wasn't really anybody extraordinary on the team. You had people who weren't expected to do much. They outperformed, and they ended up serving the team better. I think you look at this year, Ken Crawley, undrafted free agent. That's one main example I've got. But I think right now, the Saints look special. I think right now, what they're doing, what they've been able to accomplish, almost like a Cinderella story. You know, what team would you figure to start 0-2 with the season to win their next 7, possibly 8, you know, as they go home for the Redskins this Sunday? You know, and I don't know how, I think it'd be very hard to compare them as far as which of the three teams is, like, the best team. But I think the Saints right now stack up very well considering what they've been able to accomplish.
Yeah, but I agree. Two things to hit on that real quick before we go to break. I think one of the things that this team has over both 2009 and 2011 is the defense is legit. It's very good. It's one of the top in the league right now, especially over the past 7 games during the win streak. Even the 2019, that defense, I mean, like I said, they were able to get takeaways, and you know, Will Smith could get you some sacks, but I mean, other than that, it wasn't that good. We got gashed for a lot of... I remember a lot of the times we had to rely on Drew Brees getting us points because our defense couldn't stop the other teams from scoring. And also, the second thing, so the best team in the NFC at that time when the Saints were playing... Oh, in 2009, when the Saints went to the Super Bowl, the best team in the NFC besides the Saints that year was the Minnesota Vikings, and Brett Favre was their quarterback, and he was like 77 years old at the time. And other than that, we didn't really have much competition. No disrespect to Brett Favre, but I mean, you know, that was like his last season. But today, in 2017, this team is going up against, we talked about it earlier in the show, the Eagles are great, Vikings are good, Rams are on fire, Packers, I mean, I don't know if this is possible, I heard that he was taking snaps today, if Aaron Rodgers comes back and the Packers sneak their way into the playoffs... Are you like all 6 teams are Super Bowl eligible at that point? Like all 6 of those teams would be able to get into the playoff. Panthers are good. The NFC South alone is pretty stacked. You know, I think it's gonna be just. But again, this defense is legit, so that's why I have you know a little bit more confidence in them. Chris, anything else you want to say about the Bills game? Either of you guys?
I've said pretty much everything.
Cool. All right, guys. So. Christian, go and stay on the line. We're going to come back with you with a fantastic Q&A about some of the rookies in the NFL. But we're going to take a break right now, which for you guys is about a minute. For us is like 3 seconds of silence. So stay tuned. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. We have Christian Catanacci of Catch the Blitz podcast still on with us. Christian, again, thank you so much for coming on, guys. Be sure to follow him on Instagram. That's where you can find everything, okay? And hit that link in his description to check out his SoundCloud. But, Christian, let's go into some rookie stuff. Obviously, your podcast is more of just, you know, NFL podcast as opposed to just more rookie focus. But you're still draft guru, great guy when it comes to that stuff. So we're going to ask you about some of the rookies. We did ask you about the draft class last time you were on the show, so I feel like it's appropriate. Per conference, tell us who you think is the best offensive and defensive rookie. So you're going to give me 4 rookies, 2 from each conference.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to go with the AFC first because I have a banger for the NFC. So the AFC, I'm going to go with the defensive rookie of the year. If I have to give it to someone right now, it's going to be Jamal Adams. of the Jets. I really think he transformed the whole locker room. I mean, he was known for that. He was brought in to be a leader on that defense, and he's done exactly that. I mean, outside the Saints and a few others, I mean, the Jets are probably one of the most surprising teams this year. I mean, they just lost to the Bucks, but people were saying, "Oh, Jets 0-16, 1-15, first overall pick kind of thing." And I mean, they're looking better than a lot of people thought they are. So I'm going to give it to him in terms of his leadership and his playability. He's definitely stepped in and has done the job since day one. And offensive rookie, I personally would have gave it to Watson, but he suffered that horrible injury. It really sucked to see that. I mean, as a draft guy, as a guy who loves college football, it's something that I just don't want to see. And I would have gave it to him, but I think I'm going to have to give it to either Kareem Hunt and Fournette. It's kind of a toss up. I'm going to have to see how they finish off the season. I mean, they both kind of slowed down the past couple of games, but I expect them to keep the pace up. And then, as of now, like I said, it'd either be Hunt, Fournette. I'm going to give the edge to Hunt, just the way he kind of broke out onto the scene. But either or deserved the best offensive rookie in the AFC. In terms of NFC, you guys are going to love this. They're both on the Saints. I'm going with defensive Lattimore and offensive Kamara.
Oh, yeah.
I really don't think there's any question here. I mean, Saints fan or not, I think anyone can realize that both these guys are arguably, I mean, Kamara should be in the talk for Offensive Rookie of the Year, even with Hunt and Fournette. That's how good he's been, and that's how good of an impact he's had in both the passing game, running game, blocking game, everything. He's just an all-around three-down back, and you guys are lucky to have two of them. In terms of Lattimore, like we all said, he was probably one of my favorite prospects coming out in the draft, and I think you guys got a stud. He is arguably I would honestly put him as a top five cornerback in the in the leagues as of now. I think he's just had that big of an impact. I mean, he's locking down big name guys like Mike Evans. He got into his head. He's doing exactly what you want to do with a rookie corner. If you were to watch him without knowing that he's a rookie, you would think that this guy's been in the league for 6-7 years. He's just playing like a vet. And I think that you'd be doing a disrespect to these two guys if you gave the words to someone else.
Absolutely. Slap in the face to Saints fans. I agree 100% with you. Look, and I mean, you said everything there is about the Saints. As far as Hunt and Fournette, they did break out. Would you agree with the point that, you see this happen in football all the time. The main reason that they started to slow down is that teams got tapes on them. They were able to kind of figure them out. You know, do you think that played into effect with that? Because, you know, they're rookies. Obviously, you see them play in college, but in the NFL, it's so much different. So, Kareem Hunt had that monster night against New England. Not a great defense, but also they didn't have any NFL tape on him, you know, in regular season at least.
I guess you can see a little bit of that, but how I see it is if someone has talent, no matter the tape, he's still going to perform.
Okay.
I mean, yes, obviously, when you get tape on someone, you can figure out their ways. But if they're meant to play in the NFL, they're going to adapt and they're going to change their style of game, right? Like I said, how I see it is, yes, you can only have so much tape on a guy, but it's not going to necessarily mean you're going to shut him down fully. Because if you're true to who you are, you're always going to find a way to get around a certain player, get around a certain scheme. And I think that Hunt and Fournette, they should continue their dominance. I mean, I wouldn't say that they're going to go and rush for 1,800 yards or whatever Zeke ran for last year. But like I'm saying, they're going to be well-efficient backs for many years to come, I think, for both of their respective teams. It's hard to – like, I mean, you can kind of figure out a player. Like, you get what I'm going there. Like, you can figure out what they're doing, but it doesn't mean you can stop him because, I mean, if the talent's there, you're going to produce one way or another. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I agree with that point. But it is interesting to see kind of how they are slowing down, but still, like, that start by Kareem Hunt was great, and the unfortunate injury to Deshaun Watson just sucks. But this rookie draft class was really fantastic. I think throughout the first three rounds, you could argue that it's one of the deepest we've had in the past, at least in the past decade, already performing. At least, like for these guys to perform this way, their rookie years in their first year, I think that they're doing a really, really good job. Speaking of draft, the 2017 draft, I feel like you might say Alvin Kamara on this, so if he is your answer, you got to pick somebody else. But who is the biggest 2017 draft steal or steals you've seen so far?
Yeah, I'm contemplating putting Kamara there, but I was like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to put him there.
Too biased.
Exactly. So how I kind of broke it in is I actually have three. Okay. I have three. They're all different positions. I have one on the offensive side, defensive side, and then I have picked a lineman, offensive or defensive. So I'm going to start with the offensive side. I have Juju Smith-Schuster.
I love that guy.
Honestly, personally, I thought he was a first-round pick. I was really high on him. I actually thought he was the if you go back and look at my rankings, I actually had him as the third best receiver, higher than John Ross. And, he's a steal. I knew he was going to be a steal. The guy can ball, plain and simple. He's got the talent to do it all, and he's going to be it's like that Steelers. I mean, the Steelers have a ton of weapons, and that's why I think their talent base will keep them in it for many years. Because even if a quarterback comes in after Big Ben, they have so many weapons. They have a good running game, a bunch of receivers to throw to. And I think Juju Smith-Schuster is probably the biggest offensive steal outside of Kamara, Hunt, and those guys. But I'm just, like, out of respect, I'm going to give show some other guys that are kind of in the shadows here. Cam Robinson, the tackle that the Jags took in the second round. I mean, it's not really a steal, but this is a guy that people were talking about for one point as like a top 10, top 15 pick. And he kind of slid because he didn't really face that big name defensive end that many people wanted to see, like Myles Garrett and all that, right?
Right.
But I really think Cam Robinson's done the job there protecting Blake Bortles. I mean, Blake Bortles isn't that great, but he's given them, like, in terms of just watching the tape, I've loved what I've seen from this guy. He's handling the job. I think he's let in, I think, two sacks all year, and for a rookie, that's pretty hard to do, and it doesn't come around often. So I'm going to give it to Cam Robinson. And my defensive rookie steal, it might shock some people. I actually thought I had two people, like, tell me that we kind of got into an argument, but I think it's Jordan Lewis. Okay. I mean, not many people know who this guy is, but I think in terms of corners, that's really a good thing.
Is he from Michigan?
Yes, he was from Michigan. Yeah. I actually had him as a top five ranked corner going into the draft as well. And he fell to the third round, I believe. But he, I saw a stat, actually. He hasn't let a reception in since week three. I think he had 20. He has 21 targets against and zero targets in the past since week three. So, I mean, I guess quarterbacks kind of said, okay, listen, like, you know, this is a rookie corner. They're going to target him. But, I mean, he's been, I'm not going to say he's locked down like Lattimore, but he's gotten the job done, and he's definitely outperformed his draft ranking in the third round. And, I mean, it's amazing, like, for me to see, like, these guys, like, I know that they have the talent, and I know that they're going to be starters, but for Jordan Lewis, I didn't expect him to be, I thought he was going to be a rotational guy, but he's looking like a true slot outside. He can really do it all, and I think he's definitely a big steal. And those are the big three outside, like I said, Kamara and Hunt, because, I mean, the whole show's pretty much been on Kamara, so I thought I'd kind of show some love to some other guys, and those are probably the biggest draft steals I've seen so far.
We've got one last one for you, Christian. So obviously the 2018 draft is still something to keep attention to with. Although we have all these amazing teams right now in the National Football League, obviously all these teams look to get better. Right now, it looks like the Cleveland Browns are going to be having the first pick, as always. They're actually going to be having another pick in the top 10 as well. Who do you see going first in the 2018 NFL draft? Do you see it being a quarterback, maybe one of the many quarterbacks that could be taken? Do you see it being maybe a defensive player? What's on your mind when it comes to the 2018 NFL draft?
Personally, I think that it's going to be a quarterback. I'm not, honestly, if I had to pick, I'm just saying this based on like the whole norm, you know, like that quarterback's like, oh, they have to go in the first, like if a team needs a quarterback, he'll trade up to first overall to pick him, kind of thing. If I was an NFL GM, I would stay away from the quarterbacks this draft. I mean, it's kind of going to stop. It might shock some people. I am not sold on any single one. I mean, I think there can be solid average quarterbacks. I think they can have solid careers, but I'm not in love with any of them. I don't think that they have I mean, it's hard to say like, oh, this guy's not going to be elite, but I mean, so, like these quarterbacks, I'm not sold on them. in terms of going first overall. I wouldn't be shocked if one of them goes first overall, just because it has the whole norm of quarterbacks going first overall if a team needs them. If I were picking first overall, I would take Saquon Barkley.
I like that. I like that.
I think he's a stud.
Yeah.
And he can do it all. He's a three down back, and he's like one of those guys that you take in the top five, not like McCaffrey. Like I said, he's one of those guys that can play in any system and he can get the job done since day one. He's probably he's arguably the most talented person in all of college football right now. And I think he's going to go first overall. And honestly, if this draft was 3 years ago, I would honestly think he'd be kind of a top 10 fringe guy. So he's got to respect the Gurley and Zeke and Fournette for kind of like reamping the running back position and giving it the respect it needs, because everyone says, oh, sure, you can plug in a running back anywhere. They're replaceable. Sure. Yes. I guess you can say running backs are replaceable, but if you get an elite running back, it takes your team to a next level. If you can get a guy, of course, like people say, sure. Okay. Running backs are replaceable, but to what extent are they replaceable? Like, can you replace an elite guy with a random running back? No, obviously not. And people will start to realize that once you lose an elite back, it's hard to replace that guy.
Yeah.
Because when you have an elite running back, teams have to respect the run, and then that's when the play action opens up big plays downfield. And you're seeing this with New Orleans this year. I mean, like, they have weapons all around, and that's what makes it great. And if I had the number one overall pick, I would pick Saquon Barkley without a doubt.
I like that. I really like that a lot. And it also depends who gets the number one spot. And like you said, it also depends on if a team trades up to go to the number. I mean, when first mock drafts came out, nobody expected RG3 to be picked second, after Andrew Luck. But, you know, the Redskins traded up for the Rams. So, you know, anything like that can happen. Let's say a quarterback does go number one overall. Would it be to you? Would it be Sam Darnold, right?
Yeah, if I had to pick between the two, it'd be Sam Darnold. Yeah. I'm not high on Josh Rosen at all. I actually have him as the fourth ranked quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, I have Baker Mayfield as number two, actually. I'm really high on him. I think that he can do some damage given the right system. He's really tearing up the college football scene this year. But there are a bunch of guys that I think I mean, the quarterbacks are kind of in the same group. That's why I don't really love one, and I'm not sold on really any of them. I think that, like I said, they all have average careers, but yeah. I'm not sold on any of them being elite, or I'm not in love with any of them like I was with Wentz when he came out.
So I've been hearing this rumor. It might not even be – it might actually be accurate. I listened to Colin Coward. I don't know if you guys listen to him. He's a Pacific Northwest native. Love. I thoroughly enjoy his show. But he has an inside with USC and a lot of stuff going down there in Los Angeles. He's really close with Sam Darnold and the head coach over at USC. And he has been saying on his show that if the Browns have the number one pick in the draft, Darnold is going to – really, really consider staying in college for another season.
I've heard about that.
I heard that too. I don't know how true that could be. Because,
me neither.
I mean, like, that's kind of like a scumbag move. Like,
kind of.
Like,
I think so too.
Like, you're just like, it's like if you're so good, then you should be able to change a franchise around, right?
Right,
like, it's,
right.
That's how I kind of see it. Like, he has no confidence in himself if he's really, like, he believes in that whole,
right.
Oh, 23 straight quarterbacks or whatever that is.
Yeah.
But I think it, I don't know how true it could be, but if it is, I would honestly, I would lower his draft stock. I would stay away from him if that's the case. I think it would hurt him more than help him.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say his agent, this is just a rumor that I also heard attached to it. Heard that his agent was, you know, well, actually, he doesn't have an agent. Maybe he's like financial man. Somebody above him was telling him that because, you know, of the Browns. But I agree with you. Yeah. If you're Sam Darnold, you have to have the confidence in yourself to.
Yeah, of course.
Think that you're going to change the franchise. You know what I'm saying? But man, that would be crazy if he decides to stay. Like, if he decides to stay in college, if the Browns have the number one overall pick, and you know he doesn't specify why. Yeah, I think that. But if he is openly honest about it, that would be crazy. But
yeah,
you're right. I mean, like that kind of shows lack of maturity. No, like overall, like you know, you, like you just said. I at least want a quarterback who's willing to.
Of course,
he's
I
going
want
to change
the,
my
exactly.
Team, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Doesn't trust the franchise. It's just awful.
All right. Well, guys, this was a fantastic podcast. Christian, really, really enjoyed having you on.
Thank you so much. I loved it. I'm so excited to be back on the show.
Yeah.
In the coming month, for sure.
If any one of our guests end up falling out past, you know, next few weeks, you will be the first one. We will have you on speed dial. Christian,
of
we
course.
Love having you on.
Whenever you guys want me on, just message me. I'd be more than happy to join whenever you guys would like me to.
Love it, man. Go and plug away all of your social media real quick, man.
So you guys can follow me on Instagram. That's my main page at Catch the Blitz. If you guys want to follow my personal Twitter, it's at Chris Catanacci. You guys will put that at the bottom as well.
Yeah,
that's kind of where I talk my most football. I'm average, like, on there all Sunday, tweeting my thoughts on the game and stuff. And then on Instagram, I post all my kind of, you know, eye-catchy posts for the week. Just give something to give the reader something to look forward to. And I'm actually in the works of creating a website, a Catch the Blitz website, where I'm going to post some blogs. Like, I'm going to post like articles, interviews, podcasts, all that kind of thing. So that's in the making. It should be done within the next couple of weeks. So look forward to that. But with that being said, that's pretty much everything. And like I said, guys, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Anytime.
And it's been a blast, and I'm looking forward to the next future shows. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to that website. That's going to be fun. Be sure to give us the link as soon as it's
out.
We're going to spam click that stuff. Christian, if you don't mind, go and stay on the line while Tyler and I do our sign-off.
Yeah, no worries.
I'm going to give you the floor, Tyler. Go ahead, man.
Thanks, man. As always, we want to thank everybody for tuning in, for supporting us in what we do. Dayton and I have loved this, and we appreciate knowing that you guys enjoy our commentary, our feedback. So thank you for that. Make sure to check us out on our social media. First off, let's roll down with what we've got on Twitter. So you can follow Dayton, the man over there on the other side of the microphone. You can follow him at Dayton_Brown_. You can follow me at Raymond Tyler M. You can follow our official Who Dat Dish podcast account at the WDD Podcast. Make sure you also check us out on Facebook. Just search Who Dat Dish. I'll bring you to the main website about the articles we write about, everything there. Check that out. Also, make sure to search us on Blog Talk Radio and iTunes. We are on those websites, too. Just search the Who Dat Dish Podcast. But yeah, man, we're rolling through the 20s.
Ooh.
Like, it's no tomorrow. I'm so happy to say that. But yeah, if you love what we do, just make sure you stay tuned. And we love posting polls. Actually, we have a poll, too, that I forgot to mention earlier that I could pull up right now pretty quick for you guys. So we had a poll. I posted this myself. We asked, so let's see if I can find it. Okay, of these options, what record do you think the New Orleans Saints will finish with? So we had we asked them to comment below if you think the record would be 10-6 or worse. No one commented below. Thank you for that. And 43% of you said 12-4. Of the options were 14-2, 13-3, 12-4, 11-5. 43% of you said 12-4. So thank you for that. But yeah, if you want to stay connected with us, check us out on everything I just mentioned. But yeah, the floor is yours, Dan.
Great stuff, man. Thanks for being such a great co-host.
Ditto, as always.
Thank you guys so much for listening. The support has been unbelievable. This is not me bragging. I just want to throw this out there. Through the first few weeks of us recording the podcast, we had about 100 to 150 listeners per episode. We're eclipsing 500 listens per episode now. So it's been going really, really well. So we want to thank you guys so much for the support. It's been skyrocketing. So tomorrow, most likely, it's either going to be tomorrow or Friday, Tyler and I will be having episode 22B, where we do a quick little preview for the Redskins. We are also going to be, new developments here as we were recording this podcast.
Yep, breaking news.
We are going to be guest co-hosts on Defeat the Curse podcast, which is a Washington Redskins football, obviously, podcast. Asked us to come onto their podcast. We're going to be on there tomorrow, so be sure to go to our Twitter. We were replying with them. They're at Defeat the Curse, and we should be on their podcast tomorrow, so guys, be sure to tune in for that. Yeah, again, guys, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. Be sure to go to whodatdish.com as well. Read all the amazing articles on there. If you're not living there, you should be. All right, guys, we'll talk to you soon.